Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
In speaking of the essentials of salvation, we talked, of course, of an understanding Savior, and we dealt with the importance of the proclamation, the preaching of the gospel, the good news of human redemption, without which man simply cannot hear, and not hearing, he can't believe. You see, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by the manual or the discipline of the catechism, the confession of faith, etc. No. Faith that saves comes from hearing the word of God. But then, what am I going to do with this gospel that I have heard? Well, hopefully, I'm going to believe. What was it Paul said? How shall they believe on him of whom they've not heard? It would be impossible. So when I hear or read for myself the good news of man's redemption, friend, if you'll read it with an open mind, there's no question but that this is the word of an omniscient mind. He knows everything. God has revealed by inspiration of the Holy Spirit His will to the sons of men. And when you put this together and compare it with existing circumstances, there's no question. This is the inspired Word of God. Well, then, what am I going to do about that? I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, there has to be human activity. There must be personal involvement on my part. Isn't that what occurred? We were talking about the first time the gospel was preached, or at least the basis for the first time for the preaching of the gospel. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The result? Oh, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. So there will be two classes of people who hear the gospel, those who believe it and those who do not. Oh, those who do not believe it cannot call upon the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. We understand that. But these apostles had the responsibility, yea, the privilege, of distributing, making known the good news of human redemption. Now, we noted also that they were to wait in Jerusalem before they began to preach repentance and remission of sins to every nation, all men, in the name of Christ. Luke chapter 24, verse 46, or they were to tarry in the city till they were endued with power from on high. Now, we noted also that that power would come, Acts chapter 1 at verse 8. He said to the apostles, "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Now, in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So then, when they received this power, they were to preach repentance and remission of sins in the name of Christ to all the nations. Luke 24, 46 through 49. That's correct. And they would receive the power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's true. Well, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven the sound as if the rushing of a mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire. It sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were gathered together in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speaking in his own language. Now they were amazed and marveled, saying, "Are not all these that speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God." But some of them said, "These men are drunk. These men are filled with new wine." But now listen to Peter. Verse 14. "Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said, 'You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ear unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which hath been spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Yea, upon my servants and upon my handmaidens mountains, in those days will I pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, through verse 23 here in Acts chapter 2. Now, wait just a minute. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. Romans 10, verse 12. For the same Lord is Lord of all, and is rich toward all who call upon him. For whosoever, whether it's a Jew or a Greek, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Well, wait a minute. Joel made a statement in Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32, that Peter just quoted right here in the second chapter of the book of Acts, verses 17 through 21. And he terminated it with this statement, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right. Yeah, but Paul said there in Romans chapter 10, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? It'd be impossible. How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? So Peter didn't stop there. Now verse 24. He said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by mighty works, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves also know, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye, by the hands of lawless men, did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Wait a minute. Well, what are you doing, Peter? Preaching the gospel. You see, they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every city, every person. Oh, and that started in the city of Jerusalem. This is the first time the gospel is preached. What is this gospel? Well, Paul defines it rather loosely, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. What did you just say, Peter? That these Jews crucified the Son of God. Oh, that was according to God's plan, so that his innocent, guiltless son could die bearing my sins and make possible by his unmerited favor my redemption. So Jesus suffered him. What did Peter say? He died. He was raised from the dead because it was not possible that he could remain dead. He is deity. He is God. Oh, then he's preaching the gospel to these people in Acts chapter 2. Why, certainly. And then he said, David saith concerning him, I beheld the Lord always before my face. He's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh also shall dwell in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt I give thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou madest known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of gladness with thy countenance. 16th Psalm. And Peter takes up a sermon there in verse 29. He said, brethren, I may say unto you freely of the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us until this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne, he, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, therefore, did God raise up, being therefore at the right hand of God. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath poured forth this which you see and hear. David ascended not into the heavens. He said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye have crucified. Wait now. Let's stop right there. Verse 36. What is Peter doing? He's preaching the gospel. He's preached what? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. He laid the sin, the responsibility, upon the hearts of those to whom he speaks, and that's accurate. Well, somebody says, now that's it. That's all that needs to be done. No. There has to be human reaction. Human involvement is essential to salvation, and that's our theme, the essentials of salvation. Now, what happened here? Oh, Paul said, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? That would be impossible, couldn't be done. Romans, you remember, chapter 10, 13 and 14. Oh, verse 37 says, And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles. They said, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Wait a minute, what's happened here? Peter preached the gospel. His Jewish auditors believed it. As a matter of fact, it is making such an impact upon them that they are, in a figurative sense, cut to the heart. We've got to do something. We're guilty. We have our hands stained with the innocent blood of the pure, guiltless Son of God. Brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him." With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation." Verse 40. Now, wait. What? Save yourselves. So there is personal involvement. Well, certainly. There must be human activity. I must respond positively to the Lord's instruction. That's the way it's done. Sure, the gospel preached to the whole world. That'd be of no value unless men heard it. Yeah, but just hearing it would be of no value at all. No. But hearing it, the evidence is such that logical people believe it. Oh, there's no question about that. Oh, then believing it, we're in position to call upon the Lord for salvation. Right. So these people believed it. Verse 37, they were cut to the heart. They said, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Believers. What did Peter tell them? Well, he said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ," for the Greek preposition, ace, and never used in retrospect, it always looks forward. Thus the American Standard says, "unto the remission of your sins." That's what the Lord said, isn't it? "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Oh, Mark 16, at verse 16. We understand that. Yes. So he gave them the instruction that the Lord provided. Oh, what happened? Oh, verse 41. "They that gladly received his word were baptized. And there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls." Wait, what do we have here? Personal, individual involvement. That is essential to man's salvation. Unless I react in a positive way, unless my faith is made manifest in my humble submission to the Lord's will, it's of no value at all. Did you know most religious people today? Oh, but they believe in God. You, indeed, they believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And they speak of him. And in many of their lessons, they teach him very fine moral lessons. And yet, today, they're building church buildings that look like theaters. Why? Eschewing the pew, they say. Yeah. Getting rid of the pew. In other words, this whole thing of worshiping God, that's droll. I mean, that's, you know, habitual. That you don't get any excitement out of that. I mean, you come together on the Lord's Day and, you know, you pray together and you sing together and you teach one another. And, of course, you gather around the Lord's table and take of the Lord's Supper. I mean, that's getting to be a routine. What? Friend, the only reason that you and I would yield our lives in humble obedience to the Lord is love. Oh, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. 1 John 5, verse 3. When it comes to worship, we'll talk about that at a later time, but personal involvement. What? In doing my thing? No. That'll damn my soul. In doing God's thing. Out of a heart that overflows with love. Why do we do this? This is what the Lord said do. This is what I want to do because that's what He wants me to do. Why would I do that? We'll just look at life. How is it that a man and a woman in the sacred relationship of marriage are absolutely ecstatic with happiness, with joy, with fulfillment? They love one another. What does love do? Oh, seeks the highest good of its object without regard to cost, sacrifice, or suffering. So he does everything for her benefit, her good, her happiness. Oh, she does the same thing. Everything for his happiness, his fulfillment, and his good. Oh, friend, that's paradise. That's just as close to heaven as you can get. That's what marriage is That's why human involvement is essential to my eternal well-being. I respond to the love of God in humble submission to His will. I follow His instruction. I obey Him. Didn't Jesus say in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Ridiculous. No. You can't call Him Lord, Lord, and thump on a guitar, beat on a piano, and jump up and down and lift your hands. You can call His name all you want to.
Yes, sir.
And you can think that's worship if you please, but that has nothing to do with the worship of God. That is heathenism, basically. As a matter of fact, you remember when Moses was on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments? Sure. The children of Israel. I mean, having witnessed the power of God 10 times in Egypt, walked through the Red Sea on dry land, and which their enemies, essaying to do, were swallowed up, and their dead bodies washed to their feet at the distant shore. They had seen the power of God time and time and time again. And when Moses is 40 days and 40 nights on the mount, what did they say to Aaron, the high priest? Well, make us gods. As for this Moses, we know not what's become of him. No more interested in serving God Almighty than someone who had no knowledge of Him at all. It is amazing. And so old Aaron, he just, you know, in explaining it to Moses, he said, yeah, they took their gold off their rings and their so on and so on. And I told him, and there came out this calf. Yeah, there came out this calf. And these people bowed down and worshipped a hunk of metal.
Yeah.
Sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That dance and carry on. Well, what are we doing? Worshiping God. And, of course, God slew a great number of them. That's not worship at all. Oh, in the Mosaic age or in the Christian age? No. The only way you can worship God, do what He said. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him, M-U-S-T. That's an imperative. Must worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, John chapter 4, verse 24. Well, we'll talk about that a little later. What did these people do who heard the gospel, who believed it, in the second chapter of the book of Acts? Just did what the Lord said. Made up their minds that they wanted to be like Christ. Not going to walk any longer willfully and deliberately in sin and error. That's repentance. Or then they were baptized into Christ. Why be baptized? That's for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. In order to be saved, Mark 16, verse 16. Oh, and a goodly portion of the religious world. Oh, well, that's irrelevant, not essential, unnecessary. You don't have to. Hey. That's called heathenism. That's not remotely related to New Testament Christianity. No. Personal involvement, human activity is essential in salvation. Well, you can read that throughout the Word of God. For instance, you remember Acts chapter 8, verse 5 says that Philip went down to Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. Well, that's it. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore make disciples of every nation. Well, that's what he's doing. Philip went down to Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. And somebody says, that's it. Boy, it's all, verse 12. When they believed Philip, preaching the glad tidings concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Human involvement. I know we understand it if we read the book. Friends, it's just a very simple message. As a matter of fact, it's the same in every case. You remember that Ethiopian nobleman, right there in the same 8th chapter of the book of Acts. He's reading from Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment is taken away. His generation, who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other? Oh, verse 35, Acts chapter 8. Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the same passage, preached unto him Jesus. Great. That's the gospel. Preach the gospel. That has to do with the salvation of those who hear it. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Or how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? It'd be out of the question. How shall they hear unless somebody says something? And this man, Philip, preached the gospel to this eunuch. What do you do? That's it. That's fine. It's all taken care of. Now, as they went on the way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch said, "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Wait a minute. Where do you read about baptism here in this portion of the 8th chapter of the book of Acts? I mean, the verse 35 says, "Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus." What is it to preach Jesus? Oh, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This is a creature. This is a responsible human being. He's alienated from God. He needs to be saved. Philip preached. What did Jesus say men had to do to be saved? Oh, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Oh, so he preached Jesus to him. Why, certainly. Oh, as he went on the way, then came to a certain water. The only way he'd know about this is because of what Philip said to him. And he said, "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Well, he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and they came up out of the water. And the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. Why is this eunuch rejoicing? He's saved. How do you know he's saved? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In Mark 16, at verse 16. This fellow said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Couldn't do that without hearing the gospel. Romans 10, verses 12 through 17. Couldn't be done. How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? No, it couldn't be done. Oh, so Philip preached Jesus to him. Right. And he believed it? Well, somebody said, "Well, how do you know he believed it?" Oh, came to a certain water. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why would you be baptized? Why would you be dipped in the water? Oh, that's what Jesus said. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. You know, people today claim to believe in Jesus. And they say, "Well, baptism's non-essential." Oh, and others will tell their people, "Now, you're saved at the point of faith, and you are to be baptized as an outward sign of an inward grace," and you couldn't read that in Poor Richard's Almanac, let alone in Divine Revelation. Why, friend, we need to hear the Lord. Personal involvement. I personally need to read and respond, obey the Lord's will. It's just that simple. That jailer, Acts chapter 16. You remember, of course, the circumstances and the earthquake that had opened the prison and loosed their bonds. But this jailer said in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now listen, this man knows nothing about the death of Christ. This is the first time an apostle has set foot on the continent of Europe. Oh, Philippi, right. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Well, somebody says, "There it is. All you have to do is just believe." Romans 10. How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Couldn't be done. This fellow's never heard the gospel. Oh, it doesn't stop there. "Believe on the Lord, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they preached unto him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and what? Washed their stripes. His government had placed those stripes on the backs of these Christians. Because of their prejudice, etc. Oh, he showed his penitence by washing those stripes. Took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. It brought them up into his house, set food before, and rejoicing with all his house, having believed in God, through verse 34. When does the record say this jailer believed in God? When he did what God said. Who ever heard of one being called a believer who says that God's teaching is irrelevant, non-essential, and unnecessary? What a very idea. Or, "We don't need to do this, you know. God's grace is sufficient." Hey, God's grace is sufficient. Right. But God's grace gives instruction. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. What God tell him? Make an ark. Gave him instructions. What Noah do? Just what God said. Verse 22, Genesis chapter 6. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What God called that? God calls that faith. Hebrews 11 at verse 7. We understand that. So there must be human involvement. Believe in Christ to be the Son of God. Make up my mind no longer to walk in sin and error upon an acknowledgement of that faith. I'm buried with my Lord in baptism, raised a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17.